Welcome back. We are going to point out the gray line alternative and talk about EMF, like electromagnetic radiation or
force,
flux,
yeah.
Force. And Terry, if you could point out on the map, where is this gray line alternative?
Okay, it's going to be just out east, almost to the edge of Clark County, and it follows segment O north up to...
Can you point that out with your mouse?
Yes, up to, it starts out down here and goes up to, well, now we went around the populated areas here on O that EPA
proposed.
Where
did
proposed.
You start with at the river?
This is the location of the existing Bonneville Dam easement that goes east, where it ends at.
Okay.
So this is where we started, and then we come up here, and then we noticed there are some impacted parcels here. We went around those people and went back to the O line and then continued up north of Yale Lake until we got to Swift Reservoir, and then it turns back west and then starts heading up here into the north part of the route. The coordinates of this gray line alternative, we've walked and driven this and confirmed that it's unpopulated, and it's almost all timberland property. We wanted to create a zero impact route for the public, as opposed to what's in town to be considered as an alternative. The land cost is lower than any other area. This includes the existing right-of-way due to the added litigation and so forth and the number of impacted homeowners. We created the coordinates for this. We gave these to the project manager at BPA many months ago, and now, like I said, due to the Herrera letter, they are just starting to consider this as an alternate path, and we would like them to put that on the map and do a study, not like they did with Pearl and just dismiss it. Actually do a study and tell us what it compares to on other routes and how this compares to the same routes and give us some data. Why can't you build it? Why can you build it? We know that there are impacted people on the lettered segments. The town of Cougar is impacted on K, which is here.
Okay.
If you look at K, so we know this is not a viable alternative to solve the problem with the DNR route that goes through the lettered segment. So this is a much less invasive thing to do. The actual mileage is a little longer, but you know what? The head of Clark PUD has told us that the difference in the amount of money would be less than a penny a person for the ratepayers to spend any extra money on a project like this. So they saved $84 million on Big Eddy. So we can certainly do this, I think, within the budget that they've got,
So set the
aside.
Routes that have been proposed by the BPA, many of them go through areas where there's private property, there's developed areas, and I would think that these properties, you're actually going to have to pay a lot more money to purchase those properties or purchase an easement through those properties compared to property that's going through timberland, which is already publicly owned property. Is that publicly owned property, or is that through?
Yes, it's almost all state timberland and DNR, Department of Natural Resources.
So the public actually already owns that property.
Yeah, they do. And in this case, going that area, you would get a wider, like a 450-foot wide room for towers, rather than in town you'd get 150-foot. So you get more real estate for the money out there in that area. So that's a savings for the actual construction cost.
So the total cost of the project, it looks like it's a longer route, so you've got more towers, but you also have a lot less cost for real estate. So the cost differential, I don't know how that pencils out, but I would think that real estate being a very substantial cost for the routes that run through the middle of the county would be much higher.
And you could save millions in litigation costs, millions in delay costs.
So it's
as a result of doing something that doesn't impact people.
Because you want to, if people are not happy, they're going to try to fight it. Why even get in that position? So I understand there's three reasons why to route these lines away from populated areas. One is it's an eyesore, and it takes away from the property values, because you're going to have a big power transmission line very close to your home. That's less desirable, just simply because it's cosmetically, it's an impact. Another one is if ever there is a problem with those transmission lines, something, one of those lines falls, that is a the explosive situation, very dangerous situation. You got hundreds of feet of distance just simply through the soil where you can, people can get electrocuted if that happens.
So the neighborhood devastation, if in the event of a failure of a transmission line, is catastrophic. It's like a gas pipeline issue. It destroys neighborhoods. Fortunately, you know, you would you know, have to have a airplane fly into something like that to cause a problem like that, or an earthquake. We have this is the Mount St. Helens earthquake zone that we live in. But that would be, you know, when you put power out in the remote areas, it's more isolated, and it's more reliable, and it's in addition to what you already have.
Sure.
You're putting all of your eggs in one basket going through a highly populated area with multiple towers already there.
And those are the natural causes, and there'll be others that would cause those transmission lines to actually fall down into a neighborhood.
Right.
But you also have terrorists and people that just simply, you have arsonists, people that caused that kind of trouble as well as a possibility.
Yeah.
So it's just... a good idea for those two reasons to get it outside, but there's also a third reason, which is this electromagnetic flux that when these transmission lines route through an area, they create this magnetic field, 60 hertz magnetic fields that radiate hundreds of feet into the adjacent areas.
Setback in other states is called prudent avoidance. And prudent avoidance is the distance that it would take the person for different voltages of transmission lines in feet to get around the problem with the effects of the line. In California, for example, it's 350 feet for a 500 kV line.
So throughout the whole state of California, they've established a standard that says if you're going to have a transmission line like in this category, you've got to be 350 feet to the nearest residence or occupied area. Is that right?
That's right.
And what is do we have such a standard in Washington?
No, I'm not aware of a standard here in the state of Washington, but if you look at this and say 350 feet, if you assume that the power line would be in the middle of 150-foot right-of-way, you're talking an extra 275-foot of width that you negatively impact, and you greatly diminish the value if you put it in populated areas. Now, even if they go up the existing corridor, which is routes 25 and routes 9, you still have that impact for that considerable distance out.
So you're talking about 350 feet from one side, 350 feet from the other side.
That's
you're talking about a 700-foot swath.
It is
for
quite
these
a big
transmission lines.
Yeah, and these towers that are here now have nowhere near that easement width, and they were constructed 50 years ago, and they were made lower voltage, and there were never going to be problems like this because they didn't intend to build 500 kV lines through the middle of a populated area. This will be the first time in history BPA has tried to build these kind of lines through this much population. I don't think the people will stand for it. And so we wanted to have an alternative out there that they could live with. And, for example, if somebody were to say that we can't build on the gray line because of these 12 reasons, well, we want to know what those 12 reasons are, and you can build them through the letter segments, and what's the definition of the reasons for building through there to make comparisons. Why? We need to know that information. Crossing the Columbia Gorge on the Big Eddy project was something BPA did, and crossing the Columbia Gorge is something on the I-5 that BPA can do at Bonneville Dam.
Sure. It's one of the tools in their toolbox. If you're going to cross a river, you use higher elevation towers.
Yep.
It's just a standard way of crossing a river. The farther you go, the higher the tower has to go. And so that's a standard. That's not pushing the limits on something, right?
That's one of the things we get involved in when we start talking about what will BPA do next. They will never tell you what the decisions are being made behind the scenes, but we can actually request Freedom of Information Act documents to read emails of BPAs and ask questions and find out what's going on in the back rooms. And we've done some of that, so we know kind of what they're thinking about sometimes, depending on whether we get all of the content on the FOIAs. The documentations we receive confirm that they listen to us, but they don't actually do anything from what they've heard. For example, a 1,296-page document that has thousands and thousands of people saying they don't want these lines anywhere around them, but yet they're just part of the record So they're basically ignored. They don't get to look into any of those comments. They just keep making notes, taking comments, part of the NEPA process, but not reacting to the people. That reaction to the people is what they need to do. They need to get out there and do what the people actually are concerned about and listen to what they're concerned about and act accordingly. We're not seeing that from BPA. We need to see some action, not just notes taken.
And it's not like the people are saying, don't build it. Mm-hmm. The people that are coming with concerns, and whether they live near one of the existing power lines or whether it's one of the other routes that go through some of the rural areas but still across people's homes and properties, every single one of those people have come and offered alternatives that would protect people, whether they're along an existing route or one of the other proposed routes. They're all coming with proposed alternatives, and BPA is not taking seriously those proposed alternatives and giving them the due consideration that they deserve. But it's not been a strictly a NIMBY thing. It's been people coming forward with ideas saying, look, here's a way to do it with the least impact on people and still be effective and reliable source of transmission.
So you've got plenty of activity. You've got plenty of citizens involved. Many people taking time out of their day to be able to participate in this process and speaking up and saying, we have an alternative. Please listen to us. Mm-hmm. But the response is you're like talking to a wall. It gets recorded and then goes nowhere.
It goes nowhere, and they call it the black hole at BPA when that happens. That just goes into the black hole. Nobody hears it again. I'd like to point out a little sector here on the map that's called Segment O. Segment O is part of BPA's lettered segment. That's the south. It's the Clark County part of it, south of Yale Lake. They put this Segment O on the map and never really went out and looked at the area before it was put on the map. There are tons of people impacted there. You know, I would make an effort if it were me to go out and look at the area first to make sure we avoid people. And avoid, you know, whether it be Sturgeon Rock or whatever that's out there, and go down next to that and get out of their property.
Is that the white line?
The white line goes around the impacted people.
Where is that section in the map?
That's on the very southern part of. Let me go back and I'll point that out to you here. It's here. This is Segment O, and we built this gray alternate area right next to it, and then we went around the people here at the river, the Lewis River. So. That there's people that live there. You know, you should make an effort to get, you know, away from the people. If it's just a minimum, it just takes a few people out in the field, an engineer or two, to put the coordinates together and make that path.
So the NEPA process isn't just a mechanical process you go through and say you do this and this and this and this, and then you can build what you really want to build, BPA. Instead, the NEPA process is meant to consider and to brainstorm with individuals and be able to respond to them to make the process, the solution, better. And that's what's not happening here. It sounds like it needs to. We have to take another break.
Well, so, very quickly, to sum it up, what the NEPA process is supposed to do is to come to a conclusion of what should be done, not necessarily what they originally wanted to do.
Good point. Okay, we'll take a break.